God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello!
And greetings, earthlings. The dog poet is hovering in the saucer pod this evening, up where the curve of the earth becomes apparent, where I can see the glow of the sun upon the horizon, bringing the new age like a recalcitrant child into the understanding that will set it free of the resentments of control by the higher nature. It's what we do here. We fight the higher control because the magnetic pull of the lower nature appears to be so much greater. And then we shackle ourselves with guilt until we sound like Marley's ghost dragging itself through the rooms of our past. It's time to cut the past loose. Old patterns, old associates who won't rise to greet that rising sun and want to pull you down into the hole they're in, your ancient griefs of what you never got, could not keep and lost, the busted ambitions, which most likely occurred to save you from yourself, the emptiness and distance of your everyday as you look about you for kindred spirits. Afar off you can hear the sounds of the feeding at the troughs of the world. In your father's house his meanest servants live better than this. Maybe you've decided it's time to head in that direction. Might not be just over the hill. Might be miles and even lifetimes down the road, but commitments can be made. Right within the spaces of your heart where deities live. And remember, everything you have promised to do, they remember it all. They are the very engines of achievement that will ferry you on, no matter how weary you become or how lost you imagine you are. Gods and demons reside in our flesh, depending on what we most consistently turn its uses to. We are gods and or demons in the making. There are schools for both, appetites that come with each, associates that arrive from central casting. It's a whole package. The rise of the Kundalini is the signal for impending godhood, because it awakens the great dreamer within. It brings the lady up through the castle rounds, floor after floor, chakra after chakra. She is a lady imprisoned in the tower by the dark night, who is your ignorance. She is going to meet her immortal lover on the topmost floor, in the bridal chamber. There the two will become one and your eyes single again. You will have rejoined with yourself, and the anxiety and drive of separation will be no more. Does it end there? Assuredly, no. It begins. Some of us are destined to become entire worlds in which the seeker may find peace, like the Amitabha Buddha. He vowed many, many kalpas ago to not pass through the door not accept enlightenment until every other sentient being had passed before him. Now he resides in the Western Pure Land, where all you have to do is remember him, to be reborn there and work out your karma in his wonderful land, without having to come back here. He's a lot like Jesus Christ, isn't he? Om Amidabha. Michael Green and I and others would gather on certain nights around the stone circle in Riverby, New York, and ingest the sacraments and chant the name of Amitabha for hours. We entered into a new dimension of being. It is beyond my ability to describe it for you. I think of Michael a lot these days. I knew and have known some truly fine people in my time here. My gratitude grows because I perceive that through all of my struggles to this point, I am now growing younger. The old man is dying before he had a chance to bend over and seek the embrace of the earth in defeat. Oh, my friends, wonders upon wonders are coming. In fact, they're here. Try to look carefully and intently all around. I hesitate to list the things I know are on the menu. We can't all order everything, but to the degree of what is deserved and beyond is coming. A cornucopia of blessings from above and within. It is on the doorstep. It is bursting forth from the heart. No real gift has value unless it's shared. In this arriving age, this new age, the divine feminine is being restored to her rightful place. No more is she to be disdained and abused. No more is she going to be blamed for the very beauty of the things she brings us, and ah, the wonders of her within. Those of us who have felt some degree of this know what wonders these are indeed. And everyone listening should make themselves aware that blessings are dependent on one's capacity to receive them. The days of awakening in which you are engaged are uncomfortable, if I go by my own experiences. My initial tendency is to cry out against it. It's a nervous, thrilling sensation in which the days are often too bright, and there's a sense of coming out of more comfortable shadows into a light that is unpleasant in its intensity. I hear things that I don't want to give credit to, and that's just as well because they are there. Well, they're lingering on the periphery of my attention, telling me things to come, and I cannot see how these things could be. It's better not to try our imagination until circumstances prove the accuracy of things being said. Neptune is at a certain point these days where the possibility of illusion is great, and many another aspirant has been deceived by their capacity to suppose more than was actual. What I do know is that we are coming into an age of wonders, and there is work and tasks aplenty for the willing. Rise and shine, God's in the making, because you stand before the gates of supreme opportunity. Things can happen now that would be near impossible at any other time. Progress can be made, and karmas burned away that would take much longer in former days. I can't emphasize this enough. You have never in your lives imagined opportunities that are so great as are coming now. Many of us are being misled by undue focus on the outer world. We keep expecting that what we are seeking is going to appear before our eyes, when it is in fact going to appear behind our eyes and in our hearts. The inner kingdom is beginning to open under the same aegis as Shambhala is beginning to emerge from the mist of concealing Maya that has hidden our celestial heritage from us. We are not mere animals pursuing appetites and temporal desires. We are potentially the very friends of the divine. Friends are those who act accordingly. Friends of the divine go about their day with the ambition to be that friend and look for opportunities to display to the Great One our capacity for fellowship with heaven. We have often heard that you serve and give privately in the name of the divine, and he'll reward you openly. We hear that the eyes of the divine are everywhere. Cave Dei videt, as the medieval Latin goes. Beware, God sees. We've heard these things. We've heard that God is everywhere, is omniscient. We hear these things. We nod our heads. Yes, it is so. Then we go right on doing what we were doing before, as if it really wasn't so. It's a curious truth about human nature. Intellectual understanding is the first step and not all that useful a lot of the time. It's the gut awareness we want to be after and something they understand in Eastern ways better than we do. Our perspectives are dominated by an awareness of time and considerably narrowed by dogma and the stratification of teachings that have been folded, spindled, and mutilated on behalf of those using religion for mass control. The power of the Spirit has gone away from the temples man has built for the celebration of his own ignorance and importance. A new teaching is coming, and all of the old rituals and routines are passing away. This is what is behind the exposure of the established church and their sexual abuses and their operations with the military-industrial complex and an attempt to remake the Crusades and holy wars against the Muslims at the behest of the Zionistas. Everyone is being exposed in their behaviors. That's what the apocalypse is all about. They don't realize that their operations are being exposed before the eyes of the world. The bankers are being revealed in their greed. The politicians are being exposed in their corruptions. The religious leaders are being exposed in their hypocrisy and worldliness. We are in the times of the fall of the empire, and it's double dealing and two scoops of corruption all around. We should see that this is an indication that God is walking among us. God is here. We need to go about our days with the firm conviction that we are living in the times of judgment and make a good example of ourselves. We need to do this. Everyone is given chances every day to show their character, and meeting these opportunities leads to bigger opportunities. This is just what is happening. We are being given the chance to see what we are equal to. And as I say, the days go by and we remember what we heard about God watching, God everywhere, serving as we go, and giving in private, and then we go right on doing what we've always done because we haven't made the visceral connection to the living truth. The fact is that without the divine, we would not even have life. The divine lives in us, and this is the key to life and life more abundantly. The divine retreats in the face of certain behavior and grows in respect of other behavior. As I've been saying, in former times, certain realities have held sway, and a lot of what we are and what we think is based on our unconscious acceptance of these realities. These realities are on their way out. They're going to be replaced by new ones, and it is the new realities that we have to be open to because they are the archetypes and the wardens of the coming age. Those who maintain their faith in bankrupt institutions are going to find their situation a scary business indeed. This is one of the reasons for the emergence of so many billionaires who are living only for themselves at the public's expense. This is the reason that Wall Street can steal the public's money and laugh about it, and no one goes to jail. It's all being done to provide for lasting examples. All these high-living and selfish souls are going to see what their efforts have brought them and cost them. We have to understand that this intense hunger for personal gain and the satisfaction of it is not by accident. All these underground protections and storing up of foodstuffs and weapons and provisions by the rich and powerful for themselves are going to come to no avail and in fact may turn upon them in some very surprising ways. I realize it's hard to accept that, it's hard to accept that it's all going to change in very likely, possibly, the wink of an eye. But it's going to. And it's all for a cosmic lesson. It's the whole purpose. The whole thing is orchestrated, and those presently living are going to see things come to pass that they have hardly imagined. The divine is going to appear again after a long spell of invisibility to set the course of the age. The divine does this like clockwork, but we live these short little lives, and it only takes a few generations for people to forget all about it and to go right back to the usual business of thinking the only important things are going on down here, and here we are allowed to remain and return over and over, going through all the penny-ante gains and losses that this planet is heir to. This planet is a location for seeking and seasoning, and these things are rewarded according to consistency and intensity. Once again, my favorite line from the Bhagavad Gita is when Krishna says, "Success is speedy for the energetic." These are the times when one might say truer words were never spoken. We live in tiny time frames. We don't see the vastness and grace of the universe. Civilizations rise and fall, and wisdom is lost. We have few reminders of the incredible spectacles that have taken place here. We've fallen to sleep, but now is coming the great turning of the age. Not just a more or less 2,000-year cycle, but a 26,000-year cycle. See if your imagination can get around that. This is a time of enormous significance, an amazing opportunity. An aperture is going to open, and the possibility of passing into a new dimension is before you. Look at how some are spending their time, accumulating fortunes and expensive toys that are all going to be taken away from them, chasing after opportunities to be important among those that heaven holds in contempt. The masses stand confused. The masses can see, by degrees, what is happening to them, but they continue to have faith in the power of their oppressors. All of this is changing as I speak. And it's accelerating. Watch and see. Within the space of the coming month, watch and see. Ah, well, my friends, I've talked your ear off again. And we've come to the end of another broadcast, so all I can say is I'll see you next week if there is one. And hope that you can break the spell of this fading dream stuff. There is great help to be had. Call out for it. Declare your intentions. Strive for the high road. May your hearts awaken to the great possibilities that lie before you, and may you take advantage of these things. Now that said, aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is...
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.